morning, welcome. And today we are going to be looking at the first of our focus on Jonah, and probably Jonah is one of the more well-known stories in the Bible, and most of us, if not all of us, will have heard about Jonah. And we heard in the first chapter just what had started this whole episode off, with Jonah being called by God to take a message to a city and a people, saying that if you don't repent, judgment is coming. And in the words of one famous tennis player, Jonah might have said, "You can't be serious." And this is what happens. We see with Jonah his reluctance to do what God calls him to do. For Jonah is being called to go to that great city, in verse 2, of Nineveh, which was the capital city of Assyria. And he is called to go to that city and to preach a message that if they don't repent, God is going to come and judge them. Now, Jonah just feels that God has got all of this wrong. It simply does not make sense for God to call him to go to a city and to a people who are the arch enemies of his own people, the Hebrews. This is a city and a nation that is known for its incredible violence. It was one of the most violent, merciless people on the face of the earth. And they would pride themselves in, and you need to know this, because this gives you an understanding why Jonah is so reluctant to go. Nineveh, and we have in our church today a Ninevite Christian, Eugene, who religiously keeps the feast or the fast of Jonah, but she's one of the good ones, right? So Jonah is called to go to this nation that is violent and merciless. They pride themselves in being the most horriblest people in the world. To their enemies, they would cut off their legs. If you were an enemy, they would cut off your legs and one arm, only one arm, so that they could shake your other arm in mockery. They were known for pulling out tongues and decapitating their enemies. In fact, they would order family members to carry the heads of their loved ones on poles as they paraded through the towns. That's how violent and nasty these Assyrian and particular Ninevites were. And so it just does not make sense to Jonah, because this nation deserves to get it straight between the eyes. This nation deserves punishment, says Jonah. Well, Jonah will not go, does not want to go to Nineveh, because he knows that if he brings this message to the Ninevites, they're liable to repent and be shown God's love and mercy, and he doesn't want that. He wants them to get it. He wants them to get judged and punished. So Jonah decides to go in the opposite direction to the one God has them to take. Instead of going east across the land, Jonah goes west by sea. And Jonah is running away from his assignment. It's not that he's scared of Nineveh or scared of this violent, cruel people that might damage him. It's just simply that he does not believe these people deserve mercy. He wants them to experience the full force of God's judgment. But God wants to teach Jonah about his love and mercy. Yes, even to people like the Ninevites. Now, you would think that Jonah might share God's priorities, but he doesn't. And he knows that rather than the Ninevites suffering and being judged, they're liable to receive the message and to change their ways. Now, Tim Keller, an American pastor, has written a very interesting book that I've been reading called The Prodigal Prophet. And he calls his book The Prodigal Prophet because he sees in Jonah the two sons in the prodigal parable. He sees the younger son in Jonah who leaves home, goes against his father's will, and runs away from home. Just as Jonah runs away from God and goes in the wrong direction that God wants him to go. So he sees, Tim Keller sees in Jonah, the younger son who leaves home and goes against his father's will. But he also sees in Jonah the elder son. He feels, you know, the elder son who felt his young brother should not have been shown mercy. He deserves to be punished. He deserves to not to have a party thrown for him because he's a waster. And he deserves the full judgment of his father. And so Jonah feels, like the elder son, that Nineveh also needs to be punished. They have done wrong. You know, and it's interesting commentary that Keller puts on Jonah. Because Jonah bears all the hallmarks of the younger son and the elder son, running away from the father, and secondly, not being very pleased that the father welcomes the young disobedient son, just like God is welcoming the Ninevites into his canopy of love. And this is the thing, that sometimes God does things that don't make sense to us, but it makes sense to him. Sometimes he does things and he calls us maybe to do things and you think, this doesn't make sense. If I were God, I would do it differently, is how we actually think about things sometimes. But we are not God. And you know, there is a pastor, he's still alive, called Mike Bickle from Kansas. And he said this memorable quotation. He said, sometimes God offends the mind to reveal the heart. In other words, sometimes God will offend the way we think in order to show us what's actually in our hearts. That when we take offense, that often it's not the offense or the thing that we are being offended by that really matters. It's what that offense releases in our hearts. And God shows up and we think, wow, where did all that come from? And sometimes he does things that don't make sense to the human mind. He might ask you to do something that might even go against the grain. And what is the response to that for us? What should have been the response of Jonah? I think the very verse that I mentioned and I quoted when praying for Selvi, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, because he may offend your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So sometimes God does things that just don't make sense. It's all through the Bible. Abraham, to give a promise that he would be the father of a nation when he had not been able to bear children with his wife Sarah, and then to come to them with a promise that one day he will give birth and then wait for 25 years until he's 99 and then they have the son. It doesn't make sense. And you might have said, if I were God, I would have come to Abraham much sooner. You know, when he was in his 30s. Why wait till he's in his 90s? But that's God. God knows what he's doing. Remember Moses? And God leads him to a dead end, right to the Red Sea. Why would God do a stupid thing like that? The human mind says, there's nowhere to go. But God knew, and he opened the sea for the children of Israel to walk through. And Tim Keller, in his book, puts it like this. When talking about Jonah and his attitude, he says this, and I quote, "The lack of mercy in Jonah's attitude and actions towards others reveals that he was a stranger in his heart to the saving mercy and grace of God." Let me read that again. The lack of mercy in Jonah's attitude and actions towards others reveals that he was a stranger in his heart to the saving mercy and grace of God. And sometimes with our attitudes, we can become strangers to God's great mercy and love. So it's important that we realize that God is God, and we are called to trust that God knows better. Jonah thinks he knows better than God. But this event reveals more about Jonah than it does about the Ninevites. Jonah is taking offense because he has decided that he knows better. And what we find here is that the pagan crewmen on the ship seem to be more aware of God than Jonah is, who is called to be the prophet of God. They are more in tune with their maker. The fishermen have been in many storms, but they discern in this storm, it's a different storm from all the other storms. This storm is brought about by the action of a divine hand. Someone, they reckon, has offended their God. And this storm is hurled against Jonah, by God. That's what it says. God caused this. God caused this storm. A great wind arose, and it was all directed towards Jonah. And the fishermen realized that there was a supernatural origin to this storm. It wasn't just an ordinary storm. And that was to get Jonah's attention. And may I be humble and say, sometimes some storms that come to us is not the result of the devil. Sometimes it may be something to get our attention. And we've all often thought that every difficulty must be a satanic attack. But in actual fact, sometimes, God will do something to get our attention. And once he gets our attention, he can lead us in the right way. After asking Jonah to pray, they decide to cast lots, these fishermen. And they come out and they say, "Jonah, you're the man. What do we do?" And Jonah says, "Chuck me overboard." Now, Jonah has no idea of what God is up to. He has got not a clue about any big fish coming to save him. So what Jonah is really saying here is, "I would rather die than go to Nineveh. I would rather drown than go to these Assyrians and tell them to repent so that they could experience God's mercy and love." That's how far Jonah has got. He has got himself into this situation. where not only is he running away from God, not only is he in a boat going the opposite direction to the one God has called him to, but now he's come to the end and he has said, just throw me overboard. I'd rather drown than go to Nineveh. Amazing. But God has a plan and a purpose. He has already worked out, as we have found in verse 17, Jonah 1. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah did not know that that was what the Lord was going to do. Because when we follow the Lord, as hard as it might be, and as strange as it might happen, he will rescue us. He will be there. I was reminded of the verse in Isaiah, and this might be something for somebody here today. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, the prophet says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So sometimes we think we know, and in our arrogance we think we know what the mind of God is, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we've worked it all out in our little spiritual boxes that this is the way God should behave, and then God goes and does something that actually flummoxes us, because he's God. He offends your mind to reveal your heart. Because in the end, the Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways, not our ways, says the prophet. In other words, what he's really saying there is, God is God. And even when he's up to things that we don't understand or we don't even agree with, then God will still do what he will do, and we must trust him. We must trust him with the future. I think when I look at Jonah and when you read about Jonah, you have to ask yourself, is there a Jonah in us at times? Is there a spirit of racism in us at times? When we look at other races and are indignant towards them, is there something in us who would say, do you know, they deserve what they get? That terrorist that blew up 12 people. And deep in our hearts we are saying, you know, God, you know what you should do with them? I hope they get what they deserve. That's what Jonah says. I hope they get what they deserve. And maybe in our lives we come over situations and people do things, or you see people doing things, and you have a Jonah in you, and you say, I hope they get what they deserve. And what we learn from Jonah is, just be glad that you don't get what you deserve. Just be glad that we don't get what we deserve, because we are sinners. And be glad that mercy is shown to those who do not deserve it, because we ourselves do not deserve God's mercy and kindness. But the heart of God reaches out. And maybe God tells us to do something, secondly, and we want to do the very opposite. One, because we just don't want to do it. Or we have chosen, we have thought that the way that God is leading us, it's not a wise way. We have failed to trust the goodness of God and the wisdom of God to lead us. And rather than trust him, we argue with him. Yes, sometimes in our lives there are moments when we do that. Oh God, you can't be serious. You're asking me to do this. How can I do it? And we know, much more than Jonah, that if we do what God tells us to do, he will equip us. He will supply us with what we need if we find that the task is very hard. And there have been times in my life when I've said, God, I really don't want to do this. And God says, trust me. You don't know what the future is. The future is in my hand, but trust me. Just do what I'm asking you to do, even though people do not even understand everything. And sometimes you have to do that. Even people, the church doesn't understand. God says, do it, you just do it, even though it looks silly. And sometimes there's a Jonah in us. But the most important thing that we can learn from Jonah in this first chapter is to be merciful. Be merciful, for your Heavenly Father is merciful. We are being taught this by Jesus. And I wrote this down. It's from the Sermon on the Mount in the Passion Translation. May I read it out to you? Because this is the way we should live. This is the way we should behave. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to grow in us. What wealth is offered to you when you feel your spiritual poverty? For there is no charge to enter the realm of heaven's kingdom. What delight comes to you when you wait upon the Lord? For you will find what you long for. What blessing comes to you when gentleness lives in you? For you will inherit the earth. How enriched you are when you crave righteousness, for you will be surrounded with fruitfulness. How satisfied you are when you demonstrate tender mercy, for tender mercy will be demonstrated to you. What bliss you experience when your heart is pure, for then your eyes will open to see more and more of God. How blessed you are when you make peace, for then you will be recognized as a true child of God. How enriched you are when you bear the wounds of being persecuted for doing what is right, for that is when you experience the realm of heaven's kingdom. How ecstatic you can be when people insult and persecute you and speak all kinds of cruel lies about you because of your love for me. So leap for joy, since your heavenly reward is great, for you are being rejected the same way the prophets were before. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. And if you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So the challenge for me, and maybe for you too today, is that maybe if Jonah had been given the Sermon of the Mount, maybe he would have realized that his heart was not right. And when your heart is not right, all manner of things can come out. Jonah decided that he knew better than God. His heart was full of anger. His heart was full of hatred. His heart was full of self-righteousness. His heart was corrupt. It wanted others to be judged, to be cruelly beaten. He wanted revenge for all the nasty things that the Assyrians had done to God's people. But that was not God's heart. God says, be merciful as I am merciful. To those who are merciful, I will be merciful too. So as we think on that quite challenging chapter, to ask God to show us if there is anything in our hearts that the Lord wants to change. And please, you know, understand this, that all through Jonah, God is showing himself to be so kind and gracious that even when Jonah is in the pit, God is being so kind and gracious. And this big fish that we'll hear later coming to swallow Jonah, this is God's act of kindness. I'm going to keep you safe, Jonah, in the belly of the fish. Now I'm going to spew you out later on onto the shore. It's God's generosity. And you know, whatever is in our hearts, I've experienced this, and I know you must have also, that when there are things that God wants to change in our hearts, he wants to do it. Yeah, sometimes it can be rough, and maybe he'll throw a wobbly at us, or throw a storm to get our attention. But he's always being kind and generous, because he knows that to have the heart of Jonah is going to lead to all kinds of issues in his life. And when he comes to change my heart and your heart, it's not to make us feel bad, it's because he knows when your heart is healthy, everything else is healthy too. So if there are things in your heart, maybe a sense of unforgiveness, somebody did something, you want revenge, just let God clear your heart today. Just let God wipe it clean as we come to communion. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for Jonah and that he's there in the Bible so that he could teach us things that we need to know. Father God, give us the heart of Jesus in all things. If there are issues in our hearts, as there was in Jonah's, help us to forgive those who have hurt us. Help us to allow your love to flood us and fill us. Father, change our hearts, O God. May they be ever new. Make us more like Jesus, we pray. Amen.